Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. I'm Manuel Lemus, the developer of the JS class and PHP classes, and the regular host of this Hangout. And I had to introduce myself because Google Hangouts does not like me anymore and does not let me put the lower third. So next, I have to introduce Artur Sosins again from Latvia. Hello, Artur. Do you need to introduce yourself or not anymore?
Hello. Actually, I'm checking. I think I could set up the third lower, but I don't know why it's not working for you. But either way, you introduced me, so everyone knows now.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I guess we can move on right away talking about the regular topics, about things that have been happening in the JavaScript world. Many, many things have been happening. We just cannot cover everything, so you just pick a few interesting topics, starting from one that is related to a tool that I like and use regularly. In this case, there is this article from I think it's Adi Osmani, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to confirm it, but for some reason the name of the author is not in the article for some reason.
It's in the domain.
Yeah, it's in the end. Exactly, also in the domain, silly me, it's his own blog. And basically, what he's talking about is about some a library that I think he developed on top of JSHint, which is a lint, JSHint or JSLint, but they are calling it ESLint. I think it means ECMAScript Lint, so I've been changing the names of things. Anyway, the tool is called FixMyJS, and is actually by Josh Perez. And basically, what it does, the Node.js library, and it uses the JS lint results to fix your code automatically. So this is interesting. You just pass the file name of the JavaScript code that you want to fix, and that's it. Or a string, I think. I think you can also fix a string. And based on the warnings that you allow to appear, it can automatically fix your code, so those warnings will disappear next time. Arthur, did you check this tool? What do you think?
Yes, it actually was quite interesting because I was thinking many times myself, JS can provide specific characters and also basically like how to fix it, and why wouldn't it fix it itself? And obviously there are cases where it can't be, and more complicated users, JavaScript developers make, like comparators or instance variables, then it all can be done. Automatic fixing, and it's great. It's actually something that could be implemented in your JavaScript workflow.
Yeah. Well, I think at first it seems like an useful tool, but at least for me, I like to go and see what warnings are appear and decide by myself if I should fix the code or not, because sometimes the warnings are a bit too pedantic. So I don't think I'll fix exactly everything that is complained, and despite that, I can also silence some types of warnings. For instance, one warning that is a bit annoying that appears that it's complaining that I'm missing tabs and spaces, but I always use tabs for indenting, but probably in other parts of the code I have spaces, but I'm not mixing tabs and spaces for indenting. So I typically would ignore those warnings. So I don't think there is nothing to fix in my code in that case. But other than that, it's also interesting to learn if your the complaints that appear by JustLint or JustHint are exactly from things that you formatted not incorrectly or are real bugs. Maybe you meant something else and it's better for it not to fix your code. Or at least it could be useful to suggest, oh, this would be fixed this way, but if you, but actually not fix it, just show it how it could fix it. And because sometimes we don't quite understand what is the warning means. Sometimes the warning is not very, very clear. So I think the tool is useful. I have not tried it yet personally. I'm going to try it next time I have some a significant portion of JavaScript to edit and see what comes out of it. Anyway, it's a Node.js tool, and I think it's useful and simple to install using the npm command, and you can use it right away. Okay, next topic, we are going to talk about an article that talks about things that are now somewhat related with JavaScript, but they are not web-specific. At least they are not browser-related specific. And it's article a bit long. It talks about mostly about hardware devices and things like that. And for instance, this Ninja Sphere that I was not aware. And it seems to be to connect several devices. Artus, you seem to know better about this Ninja Sphere device. I haven't heard about it. Can you comment about this and what it can benefit from JavaScript?
Sure. Basically, the Ninja Sphere is like a hub for Internet of Things devices that, or also other devices that connect to it through Wi-Fi. And there you have all the devices connected to the single place, and you can manipulate them in some way. For example, you can connect the TV port to Ninja Sphere and your phone. And then when your phone rings, your TV displays notification, your phone is calling somewhere in the other room, for example.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The whole article is about that JavaScript can become new language for the Internet of Things because many other devices, present devices, are also providing JavaScript SDKs, like the Leapmotion, the input device for computers.
Exactly.
Or as for demonstrate, you can also write some parts of the application for the Pebble Watch. There are also some libraries for Oculus Rift to render 3D graphics. Either using 3GS as a WebGL engine or Babylon.js for Internet Explorer. Simon.js is robotics frameworks that allows you to connect multiple robotic devices, as Hero, for example, or components for Arduino and control them on an Node.js server.
Yeah.
Similar to Arduino YAN that's displayed there. And many other cases of usage of JavaScript for these hardware devices that are completely not web related. Yeah, so.
Yes.
Popularity also in other cases, not also in web development.
Yes, this is really interesting, and for those that are enthusiastic of hardware devices, they have lots of possibilities to play and even to build interesting applications or variations of the uses for these devices. And Well, this is really interesting. For those that are interested, I recommend to actually read this article because it's covering many devices for different purposes. And let's talk in another topic, this time related an article that recommends some best practices. I thought it was interesting. It's not the first time that talk about articles that recommend best practices, but this article, I think it summarizes many recommendations that sometimes I wish all developers follow, because it would make the code much more readable and easy to understand and eventually adapt and maintain. So one of the first recommendations is to make it understandable, which is pretty straightforward, making the code readable. And if you can read the code as if it is English language, it will be much easier to understand. Another recommendation is to avoid globals. This is just to avoid confusion, because often when you are using globals, probably you're taking chances of having some variables be changed on different contexts. So if you keep your variables local as much as possible, there will not be such great chances of collisions. And then it goes on. After this one, stick to a strict coding style. This is more to help other people that is reading your code. If you start with one coding style, you don't change it, or else it makes it hard to read. And it recommends the JSLint tool to fix your code and keep your code consistent using the same coding style. And then they recommend comments. This is something that probably I don't do much, because I often make my code as readable as possible. And and it says here that good code explains itself is an arrogant myth. So I guess they are calling me arrogant. Well, anyway, I do the best I can in terms of making my code readable, and only in a few rare cases I use comments when the situations are really not trivial to understand just reading the code. Avoiding mixing with other technologies. This is one of the recommendations that I did not quite understand what they mean. Arthur, did you look into this one? I wonder if you could figure what this means.
Looking at two specific examples, that basically first one directly modifies the styles of the element, and the other one sets a class name. So basically what they're saying, it's better to create a CSS class and assign it in the JavaScript, so you can then later on modify the CSS file only to apply a different kind of engine visual change.
Oh yeah, see.
Style properties directly.
So they mean that you should separate CSS from your code, because your code is for programming, CSS is for presentation.
Exactly.
Okay, I wish they could put that more clear. Anyway, thanks for the explanation. Next, use shortcut notations. Well, I understand what this means, that some code could be simpler, but for instance, I don't think this year is as readable as this year.
True, that's debatable.
If this is more like, it's like the Perl programmers' thinking style. They use like telegraphic programming. You know, when the times when there were telegrams? they used to save characters because it would be more expensive to send longer messages. And I think you could put this var declaration above, but the rest, I think you could use the the ternary operator, but other than that, I think this is more understandable than this. Okay. Well, I got what they mean. They use shortcut notation just to save needless code that is probably going to be slower and take more time to write, I think. Modularize, I think it's pretty obvious. You just do not bundle all a bunch of components in the same JavaScript file. Enhance progressively. Avoid creating a lot of JavaScript-dependent code. Yeah, I think this is somehow related with modularization, because if you put everything in separate modules that do individual things, the code that depends on each other will not be in separate modules. Well, anyway, that's what I got from this recommendation. Allow for configuration translation. This is interesting because sometimes you need to have some flexibility in your code, and if you put create options to change the things that will be changed to make your code adapt, that is great. And this includes translations, like adapting your application to a different language. So basically that's it, and they also have a second part here, and avoid every nesting, which can also enter the complexity matters that make your code less readable. Optimizing loops, I'm not sure what they mean here.
Well, the bad habit is getting the array length at every iteration, so you better assign it to the variable and then use the variable.
Oh, I see. Yeah, assuming that the array is not going to change in length, that's something that can be done. This is more like a premature optimization, but okay. I don't think checking the length dynamically in the loop is going to hurt. But I got the point. Keep a DOM access to a minimum. Yes, because sometimes people just think, oh, it's just a one function call, but inside it's a lot of code that is running on that function call. And for manipulating the DOM, some things are really complex inside. Don't yield to browser whims. I'm not sure what this means. Instead of relying on flaky browser behavior and hoping it works across the board. Yeah, I think this is to avoid browser-specific behaviors. Yeah. Don't trust any data. I think this is related with security. You cannot assume that certain input code data is in a specific format, because sometimes people may abuse that to perform some kind of security exploit. I think that's what this means, because it says don't believe the HTML document, don't trust that data features function is in the right format, as I mentioned, don't expect elements in the DOM to be available, never use JavaScript to protect something, especially on browser side. And add functionality with JavaScript, not content. If you find yourself creating lots of HTML and JavaScript, you are doing it wrong. Yeah, that's like separating the template data to some other code outside your JavaScript code. Build on the shoulders of giants. I think this is meant to be reuse code of others. Development code is not live code. Yeah, that's a wise advice, because while you are developing your code, you can perform many things, but once you ship it, you must be sure that your code is working well, and probably only optimize it for production when you ship it, instead of using minified libraries sometimes. More useful to use non-minified libraries. Well, I'm not sure if I follow all these practices. Artus, do you follow all these practices, or maybe not some of them?
Probably not all of them, but I think that everyone has their own sets of best practices to follow. That's why there are many articles about best practices.
Yes, everybody wants to be a founder of a new religion, and so they dictate their own rules. Some rules are wise and they are commonly adopted everywhere, but others not so much. Okay, so next, let's move to the next topic. I'm going to try to talk again about a library that I'm afraid I cannot demo. It's a Julius.js. It's a speech recognition library for the web, and I think I am not able to run this demo. I tried it before it worked, and when I realized it's number. So let me try again, because I'm not sure if my microphone is working. It's asking me for permissions, so I suppose it will listen to it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, it seems to be working, but not so accurately. It's still trying to guess what I'm saying. So it's more or less working, but the idea is to have your application to recognize some words. I'm going to stop this because it's probably interfering with the microphone.
You should leave it in the background.
Yeah, just to see the rubbish that is trying to recognize. It seems that is at least in this demo, it is configured to recognize only numbers, and so. Everything else, tried to match to a number, even if you did not say a number. But it seems to be interesting if you are looking for a library that you would like to use to recognize some words for your users to talk about. So if you want to listen to your user and recognize when he is swearing at your site, oh, this site is rubbish. And you can present something that maybe it can be useful for to keep your user calm and try to be more helpful and help him to do whatever he wants to do.
They only need to accept the microphone permission.
Yes, but once they do it, it will be working, I think. I think you probably need to have permissions on each different page it starts to listen to the microphone, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. So then let's move on now and mention about an interesting API that I think it's been released for HTML5, I think, not sure. Let me share the screen here and... the API is about improving, actually the article about this API is about improving site performance with the navigation timing API. And this API is basically to retrieve some timings about the activities in your page since it starts loading until I'm not sure, navigation start, fetch start, and load start. So there are several events several timings that you can get from using this API. And there is even a diagram here that shows several things. Since prompt to unload, which may happen at the beginning, well, I'm not sure. Or maybe it's prompt to unload the previous page. Yeah, so that's when it starts doing whatever it has to do to load the next page. So there may be some redirect, reading from app cache, then DNS lookups, TCP connections, and then requests, getting the response, starting processing. So there are several steps here. It's DOM loading, DOM interactive, DOM content loaded, DOM complete. And then the onload content event. Now you can even get the timing between when onload was called and when onload returned. So this seems to be interesting for those that are very eager to optimize your performance, the loading of your pages. This can be very interesting. And it says that about the browser support, it mentions here that it has been implemented already in Chrome 6. So it was quite a long time ago, and I have to confess I have not heard about this library until now. Artus, did you know about this? I mean, this API?
No, not exactly. There is something similar in the developer tools that shows you the loading of different components, but it doesn't show you like DNS lookup or app cache or such precise loading events. So that would be great if something like that would be integrated into developer tools with the browser.
Yeah, I think this can also be useful. For instance, when if you develop your own performance tracking librarians, for instance, if your page is taking like 2 minutes to load, you probably can record that and send a notification to your server, because otherwise you won't know what is going on. Maybe check problems that are only happening to certain users and not when you test it by yourself. So this, I think this can be very interesting. And now moving on to another topic. Now we are going to talk about another interesting tool that checks the compatibility of your code. So you just paste some code here, and I already pasted it in this text. I pick one of my libraries and then click on check compatibility, and it starts fishing several reports about your code. And it tells about problems in your code that may cause compatibility issues.
It's actually quite great.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm not sure what all this means. I have not looked into it. So it's unknown support for 3.8. The use of array prototype index of return first index that given element can be found. Okay, this is the description of the function. It says that it may not work on 3.8% of the global browser share. Oh, this is good to know. If you have some problems with certain code that you have, and somebody complains, you know that maybe 3.8% of the global browser share that is complaining.
That's awesome.
Yes. Well, this is interesting, but it is only complaining about two functions. And I pasted a lot of code there. It says index off and add event listener.
Yeah, well, it's not a lint checker. It's a checker for compatibility.
Well, so from all the code that I pasted there, they only gave two complaints.
And it's great.
I think so. Either I am an awesome coder, or this tool is just showing part of the problems, or both, or neither. Well, I don't know, but this is an interesting tool. Anybody that is looking for a compatibility check about your code, you're not sure if your code will run well on different browsers, now you have an interesting tool to let you know about what is going on. So now back to another topic. This time is about a new feature that is related with the JS classes and PHP classes, and we're going to talk about this right before we start talking about the Innovation Award, which is one of our regular sections. And this feature is basically a recommendation system that was launched in early this month. And the idea is to help users that are looking for packages, and sometimes they search the site, and for some reason they do not find the package they want, either because there are too many packages being suggested or probably none. So what they can do, they can go to the search page, and I probably just demo this very quickly, and just paste just put a search in here. Just start looking now. It's not a good example. And I paste it. Enter the text DOM. I take a look at the results. I see lots of results, and then the site notices that I'm wondering too much at the results, and asks me if I want a recommendation, an advice to choose a package about DOM. If I choose yes, I can go here and enter some details about what I'm looking for. So I can put the title here and a summary for the problem, and then I can enter the details of the problem. Then I would send a recommendation about this. I mean, I submit a request recommendation, and then I go. It would be listed. Eventually, the site will send a notification to authors that their package is related with my recommendation, and I would be notified they would be notified to suggest a package related with the problem. In this case, I'm searching for inside PHP classes, which is basically the same as JS classes, except that PHP classes has much more users, so it has already many, many recommendations. Like, for instance, this one, there's an user that asked for sending emails fast. Enter some details here. It did not enter many details, but he tried to describe the problem in a few words. And then there were several authors suggesting packages for this purpose. And then they enter some comments. The author could take a look at those packages. And with that, instead of spending a lot of time looking for many other packages, he can take a look at recommendations of just these that appear. Most recommendations do not take, most package requests do not take many recommendations, because sometimes there are not many packages to recommend. But as you may see, there are plenty of recommendation requests here, and this number here is the number of recommendations that there are so far. So when there is a new recommendation, the person that asks for a recommendation will get a notification so he can come and take a look. Because usually the recommendations do not come right away. Unfortunately, not everybody is around the site every moment. And this is interesting. And then for some packages that may not have any package to recommend, like for instance this one, somebody wanted support for use Redis, a Redis class for using OpenCart. There are no recommendations, and then this request became featured. And when a request becomes featured, there's a notification that goes to all authors interested in to get feature recommendations, so they can eventually create a new package that addresses this problem. And there is a section with all recommendation requests that have been flagged as featured. So some of them already have recommendations. Some were developed. Like, for instance, this one was developed. An author that sent a recommendation developed this recommendation, this package right away. I mean, an author that got the recommendation request developed a package for this purpose, so it is great. And once an author submits a package that for a feature request, eventually there will be no other package that does the same, so the package will be eventually nominated for the Innovation Award. So this is a great way to get recommendations for, get ideas for innovative packages. And I think this is very cool, and so far there are plenty of things to make this better, so to get more users to interact and send recommendations. But what was done so far is getting great results, at least in PHP classes that has much more users. As for JS classes, not many, unfortunately, because it's much smaller site and there are not as many authors to send contributions. Anyway, Artus, you actually been testing this, and what is your opinion about this system?
Well, I like it both as an author and as a user, because as a user I can request a package with even some specific requests that I already done, as you are showing. So I listed this specific request that I need from specific component, and if anyone has one, take it here. And the same goes for you as an author. If someone, like it happened to me in the PHPBus site, if someone looks for something similar to mine, I immediately get notification that someone posted a request for similar class, so I can read the description, see if my class and propose it, and it, or if not, that I could check out the featured question. Yeah, as you said, have an ideas for interesting components that I could create.
Yes, this is great. As you were mentioning, here is the a request that you actually sent to the JS classes recommendation system. And since nobody was nobody submitted a package before for all these purposes that you described here, it's a bit complex request. Maybe it should be split in several requests, but actually, I actually comment precisely that here below. And just also to mention that authors that are interesting to know more about this idea, so they can determine if they have a package to recommend or maybe they could develop one, they can enter comments here and ask for clarification or maybe recommend, see if it is something that already there is a package for that purpose, and depending on that, recommend that package. And another aspect that I wanted to comment, probably it's more visible in JS classes, because just I mean PHP classes, because it has many more recommendations. For instance, let's see a request that has many suggestions. There was one with three or four. Let's see one of the oldest. Okay, for instance, this one, a good and simple MySQL wrapper. There are many people that can recommend a MySQL wrapper, and as you may see, these are recommendations. This is the author, and there is also the detail that if the person recommending a package is the author, it this label will appear, because the person that will read the recommendation must understand that if this author is not probably to be as and say, oh, my package is the best. So at least with this label, he knows the person that asked for a recommendation will know that this package is from the author, and take that in consideration, because several other authors do the same.
On the one hand, it may mean that the author's opinion is biased towards the package. On the other hand, you can ask any question related to the package, because the author is the one that would know any answer.
Yeah, exactly. For instance, this author posted his recommendation here, and then you can enter a comment to ask more about any details about this a package if you want, and or add other comments. And another interesting detail is that in front of the name there is also the reputation. And this reputation takes in consideration the number of times that the author has recommended packages, either from him or not. So in this case, I'm looking here. For instance, this author earned reputation points for recommending a package of his own. In this case, actually, he recommended it twice, and also one of the times he got voted for a package as his own. So authors accumulate reputation points as advisors, and this number here shows the advisor reputation points. So you can eventually take that in consideration to see what is probably the more reliable recommendation or not. So the more developers, users recommend packages to others, the more reputation they earn, so the more credible they become. So, well, that's the hope that this system works like that. As you may see, this is very, very similar to sites that typically are for question and answer, except that in this case, all answers must be recommendations for packages that exist on the site. The system will still be evolved. There are plenty of other things to make the system more efficient, to engage more users. But for now, that's the way it is, and I hope people are enjoying it. I don't know what you think, Carter.
Sure, as PHP Quest demonstrated, lots of people are using it, and I hope that the JS Plus is going to succeed.
Now it's time to actually talk about the nominees for the Innovation Award of JS Classes. Or
PHP. Which one first?
First, we talk always of JS Classes because it's we just want to open more space for JS Classes to be promoted, since it is a much less popular site than PHP Classes. So, Artus, which ones would you like to comment? From August, they were like, wow, 8 nominees, many nominees.
Let me try to share the screen, if Google allows it.
Yeah, we have to beg. Please, Google, please, Mr. Google, let me share the screen.
Something like that. So, I don't know, do you see anything? No.
Okay.
The first one I wanted to mention is an interesting name.
If you can zoom it.
Okay, let me try to zoom it. Better? More?
No, it's fine.
Okay. So, it's an interesting name. It's a jQuery FSM. Animate page elements using finite state machines. It's actually not so complex as it sounds, because, well, usually when you have an animation, so you like define a movie clip probably or some timeline of the images, and there are different animations like running, jumping, and so you are just looping in one animation and jump to another, and this one implements it in an easier way to. Probably there should be an example to define states and from which state animation can travel to the next state. So yeah, it's interesting solution. And it's what it does. It implements the themes that it's mostly jQuery animations like fading and slide down and stuff like that. And this class was developed by Emmanuel Podwin from France. And he chose one book of choice by Pact for it. Yeah, so it was also a winner. Great. So, yeah, so that's one of the ones I liked. The other one that you would call probably somehow this in PHP podcast, it was a bad thing, right? Node.js or something.
No. It's not the podcast. It's the scope.
Okay. So yeah, that's this class implements Node.js background jobs that allows running background jobs using Node.js models, and it was developed by Thomas Björk from Sweden. I don't know if he got something from. No, he did not request any price. Yeah, but basically what it does, it generates a process on Node.js server, and you can connect to it through UDP or TCP and like execute and retrieve information from that. So it's like a parallel process to start as is parallel your server.
So now on my turn, on my behalf, I'd like to also talk about a few classes. Let's start from this one. The first one that I want to comment is also from Thomas Björk, a great contributor. He has been sending some very nice objects. I don't know if you can. I think we can't call them classes yet. Only ECMAScript 6. But so for now, this is an object that happens to be a jQuery plugin that can load an image and use it as a favorite icon for a page. And this is interesting because you can do many things, many interesting things. I don't know if it is this page. No, it's not this object, but well, I'm not sure where I see it. No. Actually, it's this object. It can load multiple images to create five icon animations. Mm-hmm. So it can create a nice effect. You can see on your, well, I cannot see it here because there is no example. But I mean, no demo, but actually no demo and no example. But it would be interesting to show the animation happening in the bar. So another package that I wanted to comment is one that is complementary to the other one that you mentioned from David Castillo. So he sent two packages. You mentioned one, I'm mentioning the other. It uses the Google Maps API to get the distance metrics to many locations, because I think, yes, that's right. There is a limit of 25 locations that you can request for API, API call. So he implemented a workaround that lets you get the distance metrics for many more locations. And this is great because you can compute routes that involve much more locations than this limit. So kudos to David Castillo for his package. Now, regarding the Innovation Award ranking of 2014, so far we have Thomas Björk, or that we mentioned, is ahead with four packages and 15 points. Then follow David Castillo, we just talked about him, with two packages and 13 points. Pierre Fouque, with two packages in 10 points. Then Andritz Marmalejo is tied with also two packages in 10 points. And then Emmanuel Podvan with one package and 8 points. Jimmy Bo with three packages and 7 points. And then several authors with one package and 5 points. So despite the JavaScript Innovation Award is not as as not as many authors competing, it still is getting also very exciting, as you may see. Now, by country, you can see that France is ahead, thanks not only to contributions by Pierre Fouque, but there are others like Emmanuel Podvan that are contributing to have four packages and 19 points in so far, be ahead. And it is followed by Sweden with four packages and 15 points, all of them from Thomas Björk. And then Mexico with two packages and 13 points from David Castillo. And then Spain with 3 packages and 12 points. Well, several authors. And then Italy with 3 packages and 8 points. Canada with 3 packages and 7 points. India with 2 packages and 6 points. And then several other countries with only one package and less points. Well, basically, with this, we reached the end of this hangout. And many things were covered today, but that's all we have time for this month. Next month, we'll have more interesting JavaScript topics to comment about. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.